The Midnight Snack Podcast would like to acknowledge the Dharawal and Bidjigal people as the traditional custodians of the land we are recording on today.
We would like to pay respects to elders both past and present and extend our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across this nation listening today.
What up, everyone? This is Lolly with an I, not a Y. Get it right.
This is Roo, aka the Cultured Black Kid.
And you're listening to the Midnight Snack Podcast.
Let's go. Australia's tastiest podcast and your one-stop shop for all things juicy in the culture.
Here to bring you the latest, greatest and add to your playlist.
We're here, another episode 71. How are you doing today, Lolly?
I'm really good. I'm looking forward to the burgers that we're going to go and eat in a minute. So yes. We want to get this one going so we can eat.
I'm definitely looking forward to these burgers. And, you know, I'm doing pretty well myself. Keen to get into another episode of music. But before we do, UK drill artist Hedy One. You familiar with Hedy One?
I am indeed.
Yes. So he got into a fight with one of his ops at the London Sony offices. Pretty much they were both there for separate business meetings when they saw each other.
Mm.
And, you know, they just started throwing hands and like really going at it. And one of the witnesses, or I assume someone who works at the offices, said, "You don't expect to go to work and be dragged into something like this. There was blood on the floor. These two people clearly hate one another. But for it to take place while you're eating your lunch..." Okay, that line was pretty funny. "There was food everywhere as well as blood. It was terrifying."
Ew.
Sorry, just the food thing caught me off guard.
Just, you know, food and blood is just not a good combo. It's like when you bite your tongue, or like you accidentally bite your cheek when you're eating and then you taste blood while you're eating. It's not a vibe. It's not fun.
Actually, that kind of reminds me, and this is not the direction I thought this intro was going to go. I was at a band camp one time.
Oh, that sounds like... never start any conversation with that, ever. All right? That comes back to, what's that show called? Secret Life of the American Teenager. Did you get pregnant at band camp at 14 too? No? Okay, let's not start the sentence with that.
Look, I know what happens at band camp stays at band camp, but it was the first night. And we're all in the dining hall, and I got what do we have? I forgot. We had dinner. We were having dinner, but I had like a massive nosebleed and accidentally bled on my food. And I was like, oh, damn it. I was really looking forward to that camp spaghetti.
No.
When I was in year 8.
you know, it was a white sauce pasta, but you actually ended up having a red sauce pasta, and I'm not here for it. Very much gross.
They're like, "Wait, how come you got the special meal?"
And you look down, you're like, "Oh shit." "You want some, my bro?"
Anyway, back to Hedy One. It's believed that there are gang overtones to the fight, because there's been long running feud between guys from different parts of London. But, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, that witness had to experience it, but, you know, that's just what you kind of gotten yourself into, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it's just wrong place, wrong time.
Poor dude. My heart goes out to him and his stomach.
But anyway, all right. You came here for some music. We're gonna give you some music, and we got a review of the latest Kwame EP, That Boy Kwame, coming right after this. All right, we are back. Let's get into this review. Kwame, That Boy Kwame.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this project was cool. Just to open us out. Nothing over the top. I thought it was cool. I think that it's very clear that Kwame is influenced by Travis Scott a fair bit.
Mm.
And it shows in a number of those songs. And I'm going to get into this a little bit deeper, but unfortunately, I don't think it shows in the way where it feels like you were inspired by it. He was inspired by it, but it more so feels like they were covers of Travis Scott songs. Yeah, apart from that, the other two songs I thought were were decent. But anyway, I'll leave it at that for my overall review before I get into some specific songs. What do you think of this EP?
Before I get into the EP, your voice is way too loud in my headphones and I've got to turn that down before I get a headache.
That's your
just
fault.
Just needed to say that. look, I didn't love this project, if I'm going to be real with you. I didn't love it. Every song on there is so different and it wasn't in the way that was exciting. It was more like, what? If I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it shows his versatility and I like that.
Of course.
But there's no cohesion. It doesn't really sound like a project. It just sounds like he put a bunch of songs on there to get a feeler of what the audience likes so he knows mm-hmm. what direction to go in as an artist. And yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say I do or don't respect that. It's just it is what it is kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not like, wow. I think only really two songs stood out to me and they weren't even that great. I'm not going to mm-hmm. say the project was mid. It just isn't my cup of tea at all.
Which were those two songs?
I liked Too Much because I really liked the flow on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I really liked how it's a chill ambient beat with a deeper bass.
Right.
I really liked that one. I thought that was cool. I think overall, and the other one was Pricey.
Okay.
I thought that was cool.
Right.
I did not like What's the Move at all. I have to say, I think the beats in this were quite weak in comparison to, like, okay, what he wrote and the flow on these
mm-hmm.
songs is what carried each song individually. I can't even look at this as a project. I look at it as four different songs. I don't think the beats were fabulous, but he carried them and made the songs what they are yeah. based on, like, his flow and what he's done with it. No lyrics stood out to me, to be honest. They're catchy hooks for some of them. Catchy moments that really did intrigue me. I'm like, he's a great writer and I mean the team seems good, but nothing really stuck.
Fair enough. It's interesting that you chose Too Much as like one of your favorite like standout songs, because I said that was my least favorite.
I had a feeling that would be the case.
And what, how'd you describe it sonically real quick?
Ambient chill.
Okay. The way I wrote it, and this might be into, again, maybe the songwriting part of it, because I wrote it sounds like a messy Post Malone, Travis Scott, Kid Cudi collaboration that didn't work out like how you want it to sound. The beat sounds like a Post Malone song.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he has splashes of Kid Cudi-isms and Travis Scott-isms in there. And it's like, it doesn't sound like how those three artists are meant to come together. So that's why I didn't like too much, but I did like No New Business.
I really did like that. Yes.
I thought I had a nice bounce to it. And, you know, you mentioned flow a couple times. The flows were nice, but I think the thing that made the songs decent was his inflections. His inflections reminded me of a little bit of Busta Rhymes.
Yes.
The way he was doing it. It did give a couple songs nice flavor, specifically No New Business, because that's the song I'm talking about. And, you know, he's talking about those around him, just to be talking, no need to switch professions. You know, he's quite content on not relying on anyone else for his success. You know, he repeated, I want no new business, which, you know, it's cool.
I want no new business. It's a cover for you guys. There you go. Enjoy.
Hey, we don't need any new covers.
That girl, Kwame. That's me.
Don't like it. You know, it's a typical hip-hop song. And What's the Move? You said you didn't like that one. I said this sounds like a spare track off the Jack Boys collab project that Travis Scott put out late 2019-ish. It had Highest in the Room, which ironically, he had a line in there where he said, feel like cactus the way I'm smoking, I may be the highest in the room. So I'm like, it's clearly he's wearing, again, these influences on his sleeve. And he's not hiding from it.
But going off what you've said, look, I really liked the inflection and expression. Like, I really liked the theme, but what I liked more about the theme of the song No New Business was actually, and it's business, not business, guys. Yes, there's no business. Anyway, I liked the fact that it was conversational. He had this conversational feel to it, and that's the way he communicated to us through the song. I liked that a lot.
Overall, look, I've enjoyed what Kwame has done with BBGB this year. All those collab projects have really, really been dope. And I've looked forward to, you know, what they've come out with this year. But I'm not 100% that this project or this four-track EP was the standard that we expect from an artist of the level in this scene as Kwame. Mm. And you're right. I didn't write it down, but you're right that it does sound like four tracks, just separate tracks. It doesn't sound like a project. It sounds like a playlist, a compilation of just tracks that he threw together.
Which is a cool approach. It's a cool approach. I'd like to see if he had like written that, you know, like, this is my new project. This is what it's about. This is the approach I had. Like, I wish I got that so I could understand the reasoning why a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. It did kind of come out of nowhere. But
yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe I wasn't paying attention to his.
You don't pay attention to me, so I'm not surprised if you don't pay attention to others.
There's a good reason for that. Yeah. But
I'm fine. It's fine. Moving on. I'm fine.
All right.
Don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. Breathe
in. What did you rate this out? What do you rate this?
I rate this a 2.5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree with that. It's cool, but that's pretty much where I stay
it's
with
cool.
it.
It's cool. Cool. I'm not going to remember this in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, I agree. So, albeit saying that, still shout out to Kwame. I still look forward to hearing new Kwame music for sure. I'm keen to hear some new BBGB.
Same here.
I just am looking for, you know, I'd look forward to a more cohesive project.
Yeah.
Not what sounds like just four tracks.
I just want to hear more of the direction he's going in with his artistry, to be honest. I want to hear something that sounds like that boy Kwame. You feel me?
All right. Let us move on. We're gonna actually move into our ACF now before we
dip
into our last thing for today. So let me do my little intro. So this is the part of the pod where we share some music that we just kind of sort of came across without really looking, kind of like finding an accidental curly fry in a bowl of chips. Nice little surprise. There's always so much good music, and here at MKS, we don't always get a chance to review it all. So this is just a little peek into what's happening in the scene. Lolly.
Yeah.
What was your ACF for today?
My ACF is Come Over Part 2, Open Till Late, Larissa Lambert, and I don't know how to pronounce the last one, S-A-H-X-L. I don't know. Maybe they can tell us how to pronounce the name because I don't know. But yeah, Come Over Part 2, which is a really cool vibey song. And Open Till Late is really doing his thing as an artist / producer. And I think it's really exciting to see the music he's coming forward with. And Larissa's voice is just amazing. So I loved it.
Yeah, I did enjoy the Larissa, was it an EP that she put out a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, I really did enjoy that.
Great artist. Their team is like, they're all in-house. I think they're all like working with the same label at New Levels, which is really good. Who's managing Larissa at the moment? The former Lazy J. Yeah.
Fair enough. Nice.
Really cool.
My ACF for today is Chantel, who put out her EP Pressure. And I'm going to focus on one song called No Games. I absolutely loved No Games, second track on the project. In my personal opinion, I think it should have been the first track because the opener, Checkmate, wasn't as strong as I was hoping. I think the vocals were a little too soft. I think the length of it was too short. Like it didn't catch me. But oh man, when No Games came in, I think this is a great homage to some thousands R&B, especially in the style of like Kelly Rowland production. Sounds like something that Scott Storch did.
How good.
Shout out to Dobby on the production. My only criticism is that it was missing that iconic bridge that the area is known for. But apart from that, I was hooked. Start to finish.
Bridges don't really exist nowadays, and that's sad because the bridge used to be the most pivotal and important part of a song.
Yeah.
So it's sad to see that they don't exist.
Yeah. But the rest of the EP was fire, so make sure you go check out that. It's called Pressure, and the song that is my ACF is No Games. Now, we got to some arias to break down a little bit and just, you know, have a little nice little discussion before we close out this episode. So, the 2022 ARIA Awards were held on Thursday night, not last Thursday, the Thursday before, if you're listening to this, at Sydney's Horden Pavilion. So, here is a, you know, quick little rundown about who won some things. So, Baker Boy scooped up 5 awards. I think he was nominated for 5 awards. So
wow.
I think he won every single award that he was nominated for, which I'm pretty sure I said that. I said, I bet you the Baker Boy is going to win all 5 awards. If you want to, guys, if you want to go back and check that for me, please, please do. And let us know.
Making them do our dirty work.
Hey.
Yeah, guys, go do our dirty work for us. Love it, love it, love it.
Lolly, it's called making content. It's called a call to action.
Or that. You can say that. I'm just going to say make you guys do our dirty work, but label it what you want, potato, potato, right?
Mm-hmm. So he scooped up 5 awards, including Album of the Year and Best Solo Artist. Tones and I won Song of the Year with her single Cloudy Day. The Kid Laroi won Best Pop Released for his track 1,000 Miles. I think you predicted that one.
Yeah.
Best International Artist was awarded to Harry Styles. The Wiggles won Best Children's Album and Best Australian Live Act. Well deserved.
How good.
And there were also special tributes for artists we lost this year, including Archie Roach, who was honored by Jessica Mowboy, Bujara, and Thelma Plum. And Kai, Tones and I, and Natalie Imbruglia closed the show with a medley performance to honor Olivia Newton-John. So, yeah, I think all in all, the Arias seemed pretty standard. There wasn't too many things. However, the ones... thing that I saw, which was kind of dope. Illy wore a t-shirt that had all the R&B artists. Remember the R&B drama that happened where like who was nominated? He wore a shirt with all the R&B artists, the dope R&B artists in the scene, and that should have been nominated. So it's like Chanel, Lauren, Kai, someone else, da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was like, that's fire. That's fire. I'm glad that, you know, someone used that their platform. And a guy, nonetheless, to promote all these amazing female R&B artists. So I thought that was a dope moment.
I think that was brave and ballsy, and I applaud it times 12.
I think all in all, the Arias turned out pretty standard. Nothing exciting, nothing dramatic happened. I think that, like I said, that moment was really nice. Now we had a little bit of discussion as we were again doing the who is nominated conversation a few weeks back about the sexism that might be involved within the Arias and, you know, how people are perceiving it. There was an article or statistics that were gathered by Caleb Triscari of the Music Network in the lead up to the 2021 Aria Awards, who collected 34 years of data on, you know, the awards and who won and who didn't. And it seemed like the thing that had in common with the majority of statistical wins was that there were guys. He found that less than a quarter of Album of the Year awards had been won by female-fronted acts. Now, the same year that he came out with these statistics, the ARIA Awards announced that they would be replacing Best Female Artist and Best Male Artist with a non-gendered category Best Artist, which is, you know, it's cool, it's forward-thinking. Where the CEO, Annabelle Heard, said the time for separating artists based on gendered categories that exclude non-binary artists altogether has passed. The music industry is demanding a more equal, inclusive, safe, and supportive space for everyone. And ARIA is working hard to achieve that across the ARIA Awards and everything we do. Now, in the 2 years since Australia's Best Female and Best Male Artists have been combined, both the artists that have won that award have been male. The Kid Laroi and Baker Boy, who, granted, deserved it nonetheless. However, whilst there is time, and, you know, it's only been 2 years that this has been combined, it's interesting, again, that this might be a trend that might be going, again, towards statistics, saying that males will continue to get this award. In the category, there is usually 5 nominees. But now they switched it to 10 nominees. In 2021, there were only 4 women that were nominated, and this year there were only 3. So, to close this off, what's your thoughts on all these statistics, the review that was done, and, you know, the best, who's won the award so far, who was nominated, you know, pretty much all the information I pretty much just rattled off to you.
Look, everything you're saying is just fact, and what's been said, you're relaying that to me. I'm not surprised with any of it, as I will always say, but it's good to see women are actually being celebrated with the artists that wore the t-shirt, for example. But I do think the women in music here deserve their flowers at the same time. So it would be good to see more women winning awards rather than just being nominated, and more women being nominated for awards as well.
Of course.
So with this progressive thinking and this forward thinking and progressive way of doing things, I hope that just opens the door a little bit for female and, I guess, non-binary artists as well, because music has always been a male-dominated industry, and I want to see that break a little.
Yeah.
No hate to the men doing amazing things, but we need room to shine as well. We don't want it to be a male-dominated industry anymore. That's just my opinion on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's hope for a bit of a break in that.
Yeah, I'll leave it off with, you know, they changed the category to Best New Artists, and that's cool, but we can't give a round of applause for the bare minimum.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that will do us for our episode today. We hope you enjoyed that review. Make sure you go check out the music that we talked about, and, you know, any of the other music that Lolly and I have enjoyed this week on our Midnight Snack playlist, which is on Spotify. You can also find it on our Instagram at MKS Podcast. And that's going to do us for today. Lolly, do you have anything else to leave us off with?
I'm really excited to eat this burger, so I want to go eat it now. Thank you.
All right, let's wrap it up. I am Rue, aka The Culture Black Kid.
And I'm Lolly with an I, not a Y. Get it right.
And we will catch you next time on Australia's Tastiest Podcast, the Midnight Snack Podcast. We are out. Peace.
Peace and beef rib burgers. Oh, yum.
The Midnight Snack Podcast is hosted by Lolly and Rue and executive produced by AJ and Rennie of Midnight Group. Theme song and transition music by Midnight Sound. Be sure to follow us at MKS Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, and DM us if you would like to suggest a topic or like your music to be possibly featured on the show. Make sure you follow us wherever you listen to your podcast, share, and leave a review. It helps a lot. Stay tuned for future episodes every week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Peace.